DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So much to talk about from America again tonight, having done so last night. There more and more information keeps coming forward. And I did promise as well that we would ask Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown about the Joe Biden legacy. Mary McKeown, I believe he will be making a full speech on Thursday. What can we expect out of it?
That's right. Well, I think what we can expect is that he will really throw his support behind Kamala Harris, that he's going to say, as he's already said in his online posts, that he wants people to put their heart and soul into supporting her. He's being very, very generous and very magnanimous, you know, following what was obviously a really hard decision for him. But there's no point in doing that unless you really get behind the person that you've endorsed. And he's showing all the signs of doing that. I'm just seeing now Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, who's a Democrat, has just come out. He's speaking as we speak, and he's positively giddy. And he just said, boy, oh boy, are we enthusiastic. But he's making the point very clearly that Kamala Harris insisted on winning the nomination from the grassroots up, that she won that support in very quick order. And the process played out according to, you know, that it wasn't imposed from the top down. And that's why they were so careful not to come out and endorse her immediately, to make sure that she won the delegates on her own, and she's now done that 2,550. So I think the Democrats just seem giddy. They seem the relief is sort of almost.
And we will get to more about that in a second, but I just want to concentrate on Biden for a second. And before to Cal, Marion, a question. If Joe Biden is not fit to run in the presidential election in November, how is he fit to govern as president between now and next January?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a good question, but he's showing obvious signs, it goes without saying, of mental and physical decline. But doesn't seem to be at a point where there's something that would prevent him from carrying on for the next 6 months or whatever. I'm sure if that did happen, then obviously it would be a different situation. But we've seen Biden where he was sharp, like in that press conference, you know, apart from calling obviously Zelensky Putin by mistake and referring to Harris as Trump, but where he answered a lot of questions for 90 minutes. We've seen him be sharp, but it's just that look, there's clearly something going on there that I think hasn't been made public. And you know, I can't predict the future, but I think obviously he's going to continue on as president. He's going to try and wrap up his legacy. There'll be a focus now on the positive aspects of his legacy, and the ones that Kamala Harris, I suspect, a little bit a la carte, might want to focus on more than others. But I think the mood has shifted on Biden, that people are now seeing him. You know, obviously Donald Trump has been very characteristically vindictive and classless in acknowledging his withdrawal from the race. But I think Americans recognize that he, you know, has always been motivated by wanting to do what's right for the country. And that's why he has resigned as a candidate.
Okay.
You know, he believed he would be able to do 4 more years. Nobody else believed that. But I think people believe that he can do a lame duck presidency for the next 6 months, which is what it is.
Cal Thomas, do you think it's appropriate for him to continue for the next 6 months, or should he resign the presidency now and hand it over to Kamala Harris?
Well, politically, it would certainly be good for Kamala Harris. She would get Air Force One. She'd get all the power and perks of the presidency, and she'd have a head start on the election in November. But look, Matt, this, in my view, was a inside coup followed by a coronation. There were 14 million Democrat voters who voted for Joe Biden in the primaries. They had no voice at all in this, and she got absolutely no delegates in 2020 when she ran for president. A brand new poll from Quinnipiac, one of the more respected pollsters, just out yesterday, and before all of this sinks into a lot of people, showed virtually no difference between a Biden-Trump race and a Harris-Trump race. Trump is still 2 points ahead, which is within the margin of error. But there's a lot of anonymous sources coming out now saying that top-level Democrats and donors went to Biden and said, if you don't step aside, then we're going to make sure that the 25th Amendment is invoked. There are also reports that people pushed him to do that early debate a few weeks ago with Trump, knowing that he would do poorly and that his support would be eroded as a result. So I think that this is a behind-the-scenes operation. I don't think that Biden has a real legacy to run on. When you look at the border, when you look at the economy, all these side issues are not going to really matter to the average voter who looks at mortgage rates, who looks at the price of bread and eggs, and who looks at the price of gas and inflation, all worse under Joe Biden than they were under Trump.
Carl, you mentioned that inflation issue yesterday, but you do know that inflation has been a global issue, that it's not something that is unique to the United States of America. It's something we, particularly in Europe, have had to deal with. And the reason is because Trump's friend, Vladimir Putin, invaded Ukraine.
No, the reason is, Matt, that we have a $34 trillion debt. And any first-year economist in any university will tell you that massive national debt is directly linked to inflation. American voters are not voting for Europe. They're voting for their wallets. As James Carville, the top Clinton pollster, said, it's the economy, stupid. The economy is always the number one issue, except in this campaign, it's been slightly eclipsed by the border. And not only the millions of illegal immigrants who have come in, and many of whom have escaped, but also the fentanyl that's come in, killing thousands upon thousands, especially, but not exclusively, young Americans. Those are the issues that are going to be on the ballot in November.
But, Carl, if inflation is down to what you say about the size of the national debt, you are aware that it exploded under Donald Trump more than under any previous American president.
Yes, a lot of that had to do with COVID, of course, and the spending on it, especially the vaccinations and the fact that a lot of people lost their jobs. You know, Biden claims he's created all of these jobs, but many of them are not only government jobs, but they're jobs that came back from COVID when people were reemployed. So you have to be careful, especially in an election season, with people who are throwing statistics around on both sides that may or may not be true.
What do you think, Marion, of the conspiracy theory that people in the Democrats did get Biden out for an early debate, realizing that was their only chance to get rid of him when he failed in that, rather than having the first debate in September or October, as would have been normal?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't spoken to anybody in the Democratic Party who has said anything to me about that. You know, nobody that I speak to on the Hill has said anything about that. I don't buy the 25th Amendment thing. I think with respect to Cal, it's nonsense, because only the cabinet can invoke that anyway. You know, you don't get donors coming in and, you know, pulling the lever on the 25th Amendment. It just doesn't work that way. I think certainly a lot of Democrats have wanted Biden gone. I think that, you know, after the midterms, that was really the time. They did make a mess of this, absolutely. You know, after he did have the best midterm results for any Democratic president since John F. Kennedy, but they should have gone then and said, look, you've got a brilliant legacy, now get off the stage. You said you'd be a one-term president, you made a compact with the public, you said it at events, now, you know, you're going to be too old coming into 2024. They should have pressured him then, but he's very stubborn. So this has been ugly, it has been messy, but I think now people will forget all this, you know, in a couple of weeks. They'll forget all this. If the Democrats do a big convention, you've got a young, vibrant woman, which Kamala Harris is, who is very telegenic. She's charismatic. Now, I thought, I covered her campaign, initially her primary campaign. It was dreadful. It, you know, it started off brilliantly and then it just imploded. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I think at the moment we've seen there've been almost a million small donations from Democrats. Basically, in the last couple of days, she's raised close to $100 million, another thousands and thousands of new volunteers. Democrats are energized at the moment. They're happy. I don't think that she's necessarily the best of, or the strongest of the candidates that are available, but she got all the nominations. She wrapped it up quickly. And I think it's so ironic that the guy who sicked a mob on the Capitol on January 6th to prevent the peaceful transfer of power is now talking about how this was not democratic. She was the vice president. Biden pulled out. She had a right to put herself up as a nominee. All of the delegates who had voted for Biden decided they were going to go with her. I don't see any problem there. And to hear the Republicans whine about the poor Democrats being disenfranchised is frankly laughable. example.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Vice President Kamala Harris, what she said during a speech to campaign staff yesterday about her opponent, Donald Trump.
You know, as many of you know, before I was elected as Vice President, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected Attorney General, as I've mentioned, of California, and before that I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. And in this campaign, I will proudly put my record against his.
Sticking it to Donald Trump, Cal, because he is a convicted felon who was found liable for sexual assault in a civil court. Other courts have found that fraud was committed in his business, in his charitable foundation and his private university. And by the sounds of that, she is not going to be afraid to confront him with that truth.
Yeah, it's a good line. But, you know, I wonder if she felt the same way about Bill Clinton and the number of women who accused him of his various sexual peccadilloes.
Hold on 1 second, Cal.
Yeah,
sorry.
Is he convicted?
Is he convicted of anything? Donald Trump was convicted. Bill Clinton was never convicted of anything.
He was certainly convicted in the public arena, as John F. Kennedy has been, with that incredible book by Maureen Callahan that has been serialized in the UK Daily Mail.
Sorry, she will be with us on the program later this week, as it happens, talking about some of the things in the book about the Kennedys, in particular, who you would be friendly with members of the Kennedys. But I do have to put you, although how many disreputable and distasteful much of Bill Clinton's behaviour may have been, he has never been convicted. He has never been found liable of sexual assault in a court. He has never been convicted of fraud in his business or in his charitable foundations, and he didn't have a private university to rip people off. So there is a distinction, Cal, which we have to draw between Bill Clinton and Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Kamala Harris was widely criticized for failing to take on prosecutorial misconduct when she was Attorney General in California. In fact, her office was called out by judges for defending convictions obtained by local prosecutors who had inserted false confessions, lied under oath, and withheld evidence. Even a federal appeals judge admonished officials in 2015 to talk to Harris and make sure she understands the gravity of the situation involving prosecutorial misconduct. And that's a direct quote from the judge. So there's plenty of this stuff to go around. But again, Matt, you or Marion, I think it was you, it was Marion. In a few weeks, a lot of this stuff is going to be forgotten because, bottom line, people don't have a lot of faith in politicians or in Washington anymore. They're only concerned about their own situation. And that gets back to the economy. And that gets back to affordable groceries and mortgages and the rest. Those are going to be the dominant issues in this campaign, no matter what smearing is going on about somebody's personal life.
Marion, I wonder if these attempts by the Republicans, and they are making these attempts, to call her prosecutorial background into doubt will actually work, because there were efforts in Britain to do the same with Keir Starmer and the voters didn't give a damn.
No, you know, this is just getting too much down the weeds. And I think, you know, especially as she said there pretty succinctly, she will put her record up against Donald Trump's any day. I mean, this is, as she said, prosecutor. And yes, there were prosecutors, like staff prosecutors in California, who were questioned about stuff they'd done, not sharing evidence with defense lawyers, all that kind of thing. But that goes on. And I think people recognize that. And as Attorney General, you can't be all over every case. So I think that you would much rather be in her position than Donald Trump's when it comes to a head-to-head debate between the two of them on those issues. I think Cal is right. The border is going to remain a huge issue in this, because that is the strongest suit that the Republicans have. That's really the only thing I think Donald Trump's got left. Inflation, there was a global inflation problem. It was 9% around the world. America is now down to around 3%. Biden's policies are working. I think that's a message that they've made very, very poorly. And she really needs to get all over that one, because they really haven't, you know, made their economic record clear. And they also haven't acknowledged that while the economy is doing very well, a lot of people are feeling pain because, as Cal said, of mortgage rates, credit card rates, all those things. So they do need to at least acknowledge that. She needs to differentiate her message from Biden's, I think, a little bit on that, and be more empathic and be more cognizant of it. We'll see how they get on.
Okay, more and more is coming out about J.D. Vance, who, of course, is the vice presidential candidate that Donald Trump has selected. And here's one from a 2021 interview with Tucker Carlson when that individual was still with Fox News. And this is what J.D. Vance had to say about people who don't have children.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
Wow. That is just one of many comments, Mary McKeown, which you might, with the floating voter, come back to haunt him.
Well, I mean, for starters, it's nonsense. Kamala Harris is a stepmother who has a really strong relationship with her stepchildren. You can see it. Pete Buttigieg has two small babies. AOC is a woman in her 20s. You know, what does he... I mean, just the stupidity and the ignorance and the number of people he manages, it's almost laughable. But, and not to mention that the Republican candidate is the biggest baby on the planet. You know, we should be asking, should babies be running for office rather than talking about candidates who have or have not children? It's beyond laughable what he said. You know, it's pathetic. I said this, I think, about a week ago to him, and I thought he was a terrible choice. It was a choice that was made that Trump would never have made if he hadn't been clipped in the ear. And I think this is going to come back to haunt him because there's so much else that hasn't come out yet about him. All the stuff on the cryptocurrency, a whole bunch of other stuff. I think this is a big mistake by Trump.
Let's hear more. Let's hear on the HBO show Real Time with Bill Maher at the weekend, where Biden's Secretary of Transportation, the aforementioned Pete Buttigieg, who is now a father as it happens, compared J.D. Vance with Trump's Vice President Mike Pence.
I knew a lot of people like him when I got to Harvard. I found a lot of people like him who would say whatever they needed to get ahead. And 5 years ago, that seemed like being the anti-Trump Republican, so that's what he was. Talked about how he was unfit, how he was cynical, called him an opioid, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a person, but definitely a really... but I mean, for somebody whose identity is that they're connected to Appalachia, which has an opioid crisis, that really is the darkest thing you could possibly say about Donald Trump, at least in public, but behind the scenes, apparently he's actually calling him Hitler, right? Seriously, 5 years later... Well, the way he gets ahead is that he's the greatest guy since sliced bread. And I actually watched this exact same process with somebody else I got to know in my days in the Midwest, which was my former governor, Mike Pence, who I watched start out as an evangelical Christian who cared about rectitude and family values, and then get on board with a guy who was mixed up with a porn star, make excuses for him so that he could have power. And then he did. He got four glorious years, I guess, as Vice President of the United States. And it ended on the west front of the Capitol with Trump supporters proposing that he be hanged for using the one shred of integrity he still had to stand up to an attempt to overthrow the government.
Right.
So I guess, maybe not as a politician, but as a human being, what I'll say is that I hope things work out a little bit better for J.D. Vance than they did for Mike Pence.
Okay, Cal Thomas, I don't know if you heard much of that because I know we had problems with your phone line, but you're probably aware of it. I want to ask you about Vance because your old friend Mike Pence finally showed backbone when it came to January 6th and he stood by the Constitution of the United States in the face of insurrection incited by Donald Trump, and he did the right thing by his country. But Vance has actually said that if he'd been in the position, he wouldn't have ratified the vote of the American people. He would have tried to keep Trump in power. What do you make of Vance as an appropriate vice presidential candidate?
Well, he was never my choice. I was would have far preferred Nikki Haley, but after all of the things that Trump said about Haley, apparently that wasn't going to happen. I watched Vance's speech yesterday at his old high school in Middletown, Ohio, made famous in his book, best-selling book, Hillbilly Elegy. I thought it was uninspired. I thought it was mostly self-directed and had no continuity to it at all. So I think, he's not a very inspiring person. But you mentioned earlier about people who flip all the time, who were against somebody and now they're for somebody. That happens so much in Washington and contributes to the cynicism a lot of people feel about politics. One of my opening lecture circuit laugh lines for years has been, I'm happy to be here tonight from Washington, D.C., where the only politicians with convictions are in prison. It always gets a laugh, but more and more people are feeling that way, especially when they see somebody denounce somebody else or for various things, then all of a sudden, when they have a chance to achieve power, they were wrong before. And after watching Trump and J.D. Vance's case for president for 4 years, he withdraws all of the character assassination he made against him previously. It's just not credible.
Yeah, you say uninspiring. I think a lot of people would say insulting to very many people when he goes on about things like childless cat ladies. But would you fear that, say, something was to happen to the elderly Donald Trump while in office and he was unable to perform his duties because of his advancing age or ill health, that J.D. Vance could become president? What sort of president do you think would he be?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. We have to do more vetting. First of all, I got to find out what a cat lady is. I mean, I've heard of a cat house, but I don't think it's the same thing. So I've got to Google that and see what the definition is.
Okay, Marion, what's the president would he be? He'd be certainly enthralled to the tech bros out in Silicon Valley, wouldn't he?
Oh my God! But can I just say, Carl, you're going to have to update your line, which I've laughed at before about the politician convictions, because Donald Trump is a politician with 34 convictions, and he ain't in prison.
Yeah, well,
there's pretty important credit for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, J.D. Vance. Look, I mean, I think he's so vulnerable in so many things. He has been some of the people who lost the most money in America in the whole crypto thing were the poorest people who kind of gambled on it. They didn't know anything about it. He's pushed and pushed for more deregulation so that more poor people who can't afford it will be basically swindled on this. But also things that he said about how women who are in violent marriages basically shouldn't be leaving them. You know, that, you know, the way he has just his values are so appalling. And, you know, he also has spoken about how Alex Jones has a better worldview than Rachel Maddow, who's a left-wing commentator who's on MSNBC. But I think my biggest concern about him is really, well, I've many, the internationalism, the Ukraine issue, that he would, you know, he has said that America shouldn't help Ukraine anymore, that he doesn't care what happens to Ukraine, his ignorance, never mind, of course, what he said about the UK being the first truly Islamic state that will have a nuclear weapon. You know, imagine that being the president of the United States, somebody who can be so stupid, so crass, so ignorant. And I'm not saying that he's necessarily a stupid guy, because he's obviously very manipulative. He did go to Yale. He did become a lawyer. But he's part of a whole cabal. They were all almost in the same class, like Josh Hawley himself, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elridge Colby, who would be Trump's national security advisor, probably. They're all late 30, 40-something guys who are these populist, these angry men who just seem to hate women. And I think America's kind of over that, you know.
Okay. One last thing, Cal, to you. What do you make of the fact that the head of the Secret Service has had to resign because of the failures to protect Donald Trump adequately just over a week and bit ago? And, of course, another man lost his life because of their failures.
Right. Well, she was obviously forced out yesterday before the House Oversight Committee where she was testifying. There was one of the few examples in Washington of bipartisan behavior when both Republicans and Democrats on the committee were calling for her resignation. She said she wouldn't resign. Clearly somebody or somebody's got to her overnight. Maybe somebody offered her a job back at PepsiCo. I don't know. But she's gone. And it'll be interesting to see who she is replaced with.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.